we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Come to Dallas February 11th through the 14th for DSC's Convention and Sporting Expo, Reflections. You've never had this much fun raising money for conservation. BigGame.org.
It's my favorite time of the week when I can get together with you in this old camp house here at Kender Outdoors. Welcome. Good to have you. Front door to the camp house is brought to you by Fortiflora from Purina Veterinary Diets. Fortiflora, America's number one canine probiotic. And if you're loading up the bird dogs to travel cross country, change their routine, different water, more strenuous activity, all of that can bring on GI upset, and Fortiflora fixes that. Come see me at KinderOutdoors.com. I'll save you a little money on your next order of Fortiflora. We're going to do a little bird dogging today. We'll be headed up to Minnesota to talk to my friend Ted Dick with the Minnesota Fish and Game Department there. He's the forest game bird specialist, and we're going to be talking about those delicious ruffed grouse and the great opportunities that Minnesota offers. And the last stronghold for the bobwhite quail is South Texas, West Texas, and Western Oklahoma. Yes, there are birds in Kansas and a few other spots around the country where they once were plentiful. But Western Oklahoma and Texas and South Texas are strongly regarded as the last stronghold for the bobwhite, and that stronghold is slipping. We'll talk to Dr. Dale Rollins about it. So, hey, grab yourself a cup of coffee and make yourself at home around our campfire here at Kender Outdoors. Proud to have you. I was shocked to learn a few weeks ago from my friends at Hunt the Vote that hunters are very poor voters. A lot of us don't go. Could it be because hunting season coincides with Election Day? A lot of us are out in the woods? Probably. But that's no excuse. Plenty of opportunity to vote early. I did it just the other day. Voted for Donald J. Trump. I know that he's going to protect my gun rights, my right to hunt and fish. And he's done a lot for conservationists in his first 4 years. I'm willing to give him four more. My friends at Hunt the Vote have been on a mission late summer and into fall, getting folks like you and me to take a pledge that says, yes, I promise I will go and vote my conscience this fall. I will vote. I took that pledge along with 200,000 other sportsmen and women. That's going to make a difference, but it's still not enough. Did you know that less than half of America's 15 million licensed hunters vote? That's over 7 million of us, letting someone else decide who our leaders are and what they want to do with our Second Amendment and our right to hunt and fish. I'm not willing to sit back and take that chance. With every weekend this time of year come new hunting opportunities, and this weekend is no different. In the state of Nebraska, it's Youth Pheasant Weekend, a great opportunity to expose the kiddos, the youngsters, to hunting in a very controlled environment. Pheasants have been released at 19 different sites statewide for this youth hunt. Kids 15 and younger, residents of Nebraska, don't need a permit to hunt small game this weekend. And hey, if you mentor a youngster in Nebraska, this is a cool program. If you take someone hunting who's brand new at it, snap a photo and share it with the state of Nebraska, you'll be registered to win some really cool prizes, including a camoed up John Deere utility vehicle. Move it up to Pennsylvania. The bear hunters woke up happy today. A record-setting year of 4,653 black bears were harvested last hunting season in Pennsylvania. And the biologists at Pennsylvania's Game Commission feel that it's possible to set another record in 2020. Both the statewide archery and muzzleloader seasons opened up last weekend. And one of Pennsylvania's first ever big game Sunday hunting opportunities will also take place during the regular firearms bear season, Sunday, November 22nd. Congratulations, Lee Livesey, Longview, Texas. He won that Bassmaster Elite at Chickamauga Lake, a four-day total of 58 pounds, 2 ounces. His first ever Elite Series win. $100,000 goes with that. Mike Huff of Corbin, Kentucky finished second, and Jake Whitaker of Fairview, North Carolina, third. The Bassmaster Elite Tour will resurface on world-famous bass fishery Lake Fork, Texas, coming up in November, November 5 through 8, for the Bassmaster Texas Fest, benefiting the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. This event was scheduled for November 5 through 8. COVID was really messing us up at that time. We've learned to live with it a little better now, and they're going to give it a shot. They're going to make a run at it. 4 years ago, Jason Prezekerit won the National Walleye Tour Championship, did it on the Mississippi River. And just a few days ago, he became the first walleye pro ever to win two NWT championships, fending off his close friend Corey Springle. Corey, by the way, the 2020 Angler of the Year. Congratulations, Jason. He now possesses two Pro-Am championship wins, a team championship win, and two Angler of the Year titles. And check out these guys at KinderOutdoors.com. Ray County, Tennessee 7th graders Turner Tharp and Blake James caught 8 pounds and 2 ounces on Championship Tuesday and claimed the Mossy Oak Fishing Junior Bassmaster National Championship on Carroll County Lake, Tennessee. $2,500 in scholarships. Hey, if you have a dog that is just hyperactive, scratches up the door panels, tears up the carpet, an overbarker, an overjumper, you really need to check out Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. It works, and it's safe.
It's Hank Parker, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors. Hurry up and get in the boat, Billy. I'm going to beat your pants off.
At DSC, the mission has been so solid and successful in the areas of hunter advocacy, education, and conservation that our membership has grown to include people from around the globe. Like-minded conservationists that know the importance of teaching young people how to fish, hunt, camp, and conserve. If you share the desire to pass along these great rights to your children and their children as well, consider a DSC membership. Dallas Safari Club is truly an international organization with our roots and annual convention and expo in Dallas, Texas. But there are DSC chapters all across America. We believe that the North American model of science-based conservation put in place by men like Teddy Roosevelt and duplicated in countries worldwide works. We carefully vet and support groups that purely work towards science-based conservation. We spend a great deal of time and money on our future generations sharing our rich hunting history and heritage. DSC also stands toe-to-toe every day against the forces that would abolish your gun rights and your right to hunt and fish. Stand with us. Visit biggame.org.
There are some very important factors to check when purchasing a hunting blind. They need to be quiet. They need to have an all-day hunt level of comfort. It's got to be dry inside, even in a downpour. Dillon hunting blinds have earned a strong reputation across North America for their durability, insulation, and marine decking fiberglass floor that will never rot in every blind. Plus smart components like an aluminum RV-type door, real glass in the windows that flip in and up with quiet and simple-to-use friction hinges, drip rails on the windows and above the door to keep the wet out. Hey, anyone can build a box. Dillon builds hunting blinds, conceived, drawn up, constructed, and used by hunters. Lightweight and durable, completely assembled, fiberglass inside and out, with foam insulation in between. You can't beat a Dillon. For a dealer near you or to become a dealer, visit DillonManuf.com. That's DillonManuf.com.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side. Pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number 2 hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
It's really exciting to see right now. The one thing that's great about archery is anybody can do it. Men, women, or children, everybody can do this. Our lessons right now are fantastic. We see entire family groups come in, have a great time, and they're finding out that this is something that is a great pastime, great sport, and everybody can be successful in.
Americans are learning what a huge benefit it is to learn to hunt, learn to fish, learn to put safe and wholesome food on our tables. Cinnamon Creek Archery in Roanoke, Texas, has taught many thousands of families about the great sport of archery. People who thought they could just never do that now enjoy the range and harvesting their own wild game.
You can't just sell somebody a bow and say, hey, good luck. You need to be able to take them aside, teach them the fundamentals, teach them how to shoot correctly so that they can be as successful as possible and really enjoy our sport.
Visit CinnamonCreekRanch.com and discover the great knowledge and satisfaction that so many other families have found in archery.
We the people, and our right to bear arms, and our right to free speech, gather here. This is Kinder Outdoors, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
There is a part of our American history that is so precious. We stand guard over it day and night. It's the right to enjoy the heritage of hunting, fishing, camping, safari, and the shooting sports. Come stand guard with us at DSC, biggame.org.
Hey, have you entered to win that Dillon blind yet and that hunting spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch? We're giving away our big fall hunting package, a 6x6 Dillon Manufacturing Octagon hunting blind with bow and rifle windows, a 360 view, and it sits on a 5-foot tower. Then it's off to Cinnamon Creek Ranch on a $2,000 spending spree to deck the blind with bows and arrows and broadheads and wild game processing and $2,000 to spend at Cinnamon Creek. All you have to do is register at kinderoutdoors.com. kinderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R. We're going to give it away in just a few weeks. A fall hunting package valued at over $6,000 from Cinnamon Creek Ranch, Dillon Manufacturing, and all of us here in the camp house at Kinder Outdoors. We're doing a little bird hunting on the show today, and I want to start with our West Texas quail, and then we're going to come back to them later with a prediction of the upcoming season from Dr. Dale Rollins. But right now, it's a guy that heads up, leads a great conservation effort across the state of Texas for our bobwhite quails, not only here, but our blue quail as well, and for quails everywhere, really. The Texas Quail Coalition fights for these little birds every day. Jay Stein, welcome back to the show, Jay. Always a pleasure.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Let's talk a little bit about the Quail Coalition and why it's important to have a Texas Quail Coalition. What is the Quail Coalition?
We're an alliance of 10 chapters across the state of Texas for now. We have plans to expand that in the future, but it's about 3,500 quail hunters strong. And we're really just a voice for quail, and our main goal is to raise money for quail research across the state, but even beyond. We fund some projects with Tall Timbers in Florida and Georgia, and raise about $2.5 million a year. And we've hopefully kept a lot of these quail research organizations in business, and keep progress on learning more about how quail survive and what makes them boom and bust.
Yeah, you know, I headed up a quail lease, quail specific lease out in West Texas for many, many years, and 80% of the hunters that were on that lease drove there from Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Missouri. The last bastion, really, of the bobwhite quail has been West Texas, South Texas, and Oklahoma. And if we look at the research, Jay, those numbers have just gotten pretty dismal over the years. This year, not looking too good either.
It's not. And, you know, we know that it's a boom and bust species, but we try to figure out what makes that happen. If you got not too distant memory, but 2016 and 17 were great years for quail. So that inspired a lot of us and kept us, you know, moving forward. Before that, it looked really dismal, but we're in another little cycle here where we've had 3 or 4 years of bad production. And that being said, South Texas has had a couple of really great years, but up here in the Rolling Plains, You know, 2017 was great, but it's been a while now.
Yeah.
And, we want to get it back there.
You bet. The research is critical to these little 6 ounce birds that we all love so much. We all of us, Jay, have been negligent to, over the years, figure up the cost of what one dead bird in our bag actually cost us when it comes to buying dogs, training dogs, feeding dogs year round, shotguns, travel, et cetera, et cetera. It's the love of the sport and not the killing of the bird that's important. As a matter of fact, I think quail hunters are responsible for the good of the bird more than the demise of the bird. If you're not a hunter and don't understand that, then stick around a while. We'll explain it to you. But the research that's done at, gosh, Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch in West Texas, and also Quail Tech up at Texas Tech, and down in Florida at Tall Timbers, it's critical and amazing to me how much more we learn as time goes on.
That's right, and you definitely, going back to that, you don't want to do the math on what it costs to put a bird in the bag. You'd be, your wife wouldn't be too happy, I know that, but
yeah,
it's, you know, and like you say, we keep a lot of those West Texas towns hopping in the quail season when things are great, and the economic impact of quail hunting is really impressive when things are booming. And but yeah, there's great research all around. All of our chapters kind of have their pet projects, and we funded everything from eyeworm studies to develop a medicated feed to how supplemental feeding affects bird populations and survival. You know, the research ranch out in Roby, as you mentioned, they're constantly monitoring bird populations and trapping birds and seeing how they interact with predators, and lots of good things going on. And, you know, each year we find out a little more, and, you know, that's the thing we're all trying to do is solve the population declines and keep, kind of like you say, the last stranglehold of quail is Texas, and we want to keep it that way.
You bet. You bet. This COVID-19 has just knocked a lot of people to their knees. A lot of for-profit businesses have gone extinct and out because of this. And boy, what's that mean for a nonprofit organization or a conservation organization? It's been a tough year, Jay. How has Quail Coalition managed this storm?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. It's been a tough year. We're ready to get it behind us. We were lucky enough to get our Park City's Quail Dinner, which is the biggest event on our circuit. We got hit in a week before everything started shutting down, and they were able to raise $1.9 million for quail research, which, you know, we count our blessings every day on that. But, yeah, a lot of our other chapters had to cancel their fundraiser events, and, you know, we're coming up with ways to try to raise some money to keep the mission moving forward. The good news is we have low overhead compared to a lot of nonprofits. We don't have a headquarters building or lots of employees, so it's a little easier for us to insulate against this. It doesn't help because we lose our fundraising capacity, but, you know, we're hoping to get back on the road pretty soon. We're starting to ease in with some events and try to get the road going again.
There you go. And listen, if the bobwhite quail is special to you, maybe your dad or your granddad had bird dogs, and you can remember a quail hunt long ago and how great it was and lots of birds, and or maybe you're hardcore and into it, but you just haven't given back, like maybe you feel like you ought to, you can do that. You can make a donation to the Quail Coalition online. And like I said earlier, Jay, this doesn't affect just Texas hunters because it is the Texas Quail Coalition. Folks come here from literally around the globe to Texas to hunt bobwhite quail specifically. Tell us how we can go online and help out.
Yeah, and that's one of the good things that has come from COVID is we've kind of adapted to learn ways to raise money, and a lot of that has gone online. We are setting up an online feature where you can renew as a member or donate additional money on our quailcoalition.org website, and that should be up soon. But yeah, that's membership dues is what keeps us going. It funds our budget, and you know it has been a tough year, but that's one way you can pitch in.
Very good. Quailcoalition.org. Jay Stein, always a pleasure to talk to you. And usually when anytime I'm around you, I smell hickory wood or oak. You've been smoking anything? You're the barbecue man.
Well, it's a hobby that you know, I get to do in my spare time. And yeah, it, been doing a little bit of that. The cooler weather kind of brings that smoker out, and, smoked quail are just as good as anything these days.
Oh man, they're hard to beat. They are. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And hey, 2021 is going to be a great year for quail.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Jay Stein with the Texas Quail Coalition. Hey, this corner of the Cap House is brought to you by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. I can save $5 off your next order of Calming Care when you visit me at kinderoutdoors.com. If you have a dog that's an overbarker, an overjumper, Calming Care very gently and safely over time calms the overactive dog. Calming Care.
I'm Craig Boddington. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it at Kinder Outdoors.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Toxie Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on, theharvestmovie.com.
This is Randy Jackson with Teske's Outdoors on Interstate 20, just west of Weatherford. Don't let that next hunt slip up on you without paying us a visit at Teske's. Are you looking for that next rifle, pistol, or new shotgun? You'll find the most dependable names at Teske's like Browning, Beretta, Benelli, Stoger, Winchester, Bagara, and Christensen. Pistols by Sig, Kimber, Cove, Taurus, and Smith & Wesson. If you're having a hard time finding ammo, then come see us at Teske's. We receive regular shipments, even in 9mm. Snake boots sure come in handy in Texas. We have them from Twisted X. If you can't find the Western boots that you're looking for at Teske's, they just don't make it. Take a look at our Sitka clothing and Sims fishing apparel. Teske's Outdoors on the south side of Interstate 20, just a couple of minutes west of Weatherford. From dove to white-tailed deer, at Teske's we're hunters too, and we'd love to visit with you on your way to the ranch.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. Yeah, and I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com. Wing shooting in Argentina is an activity that must be experienced rather than explained. Dove are considered to be a plague in the area, so there are no bag limits, and there are no seasons to hunt them.
We've got 20 million birds on the roost, and they're there 365 days a year. They're there every day, all day. They fly 8 hours a day, every day.
At Cordoba Doves, you'll enjoy delicious food, exceptional hospitality, beverages in the field, your own personal bird boy.
Bird boy's job is to pour shells in your bag when you're going through a box every 5 minutes and keep count of the birds that you've shot and to bring you something to drink every few minutes. At the end of the day, we pick up all the hulls and pick up the birds, but you can't send him out to pick up birds at 600 or 800 times a day.
Experience the very best that Argentina has to offer through Cordoba Doves. Contact the U.S. Representative Lane Balky at CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
Swapped Neighbor Jones some good cigars for an evening hunt in the honey hole. Come along with Kender Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
Attend the DSC Hunters Expo Reflection in Dallas, February 11th through the 14th, and you will make an important and worldwide impact on poaching. You'll strengthen our Second Amendment, and you will teach a youngster how hunting is conservation. DSC is at biggame.org.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder. This is Kinder Outdoors. Welcome to Our Campfire. Sure good to have you here. We're doing a little bird hunting around the nation today, but let's swing away from that long enough for a really good deer hunting tip from my buddy, Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon. This corner of the camp house brought to you by Joshua Creek Ranch, where they have relaxed their cancellation policy. They know that COVID-19 has caused a lot of hardships. So, if you book a world-class bird hunt or axis deer hunt at this five-star ranch and resort, and something happens between now and then, they're going to work with you, okay? Joshua Creek Ranch. Learn more when you go to joshuacreek.com. Larry, I was driving in through the pasture last night, and I could swear I saw some of your clothes hanging out there where you planned to hunt. Were those yours hanging out there? And were you naked when you came in here last night?
Gosh, I hope nobody saw me. You know, I'm a firm believer in being as localized as you can in terms of what your scent or odors are. There is no way that the human can disguise your odors unless you're in a bubble or in a jar and you've got it closed totally shut. But you can go the other way a little bit in trying to smell like some of the local areas do. A lot of times what I do, if I'm hunting in an area, particularly where it may be cedar or pine, not only will I hang my clothes out in the cedar and pine, I'll take those boughs and I'll rub it all over them. Now, a lot of times, of course, where we're hunting here in Texas, you know, there are cattle around. And so two things that I do. If I can find an old milk cow somewhere or get close enough to a cow, I'm going to take my clothing that I'm going to wear hunting. I'm going to rub it all over that cow. Mm-hmm. And then every time I come by a fresh pile of cow manure, I want to step in it. Mm-hmm. Because even though I may not be able to totally mask my odor, at least I'm smelling a little bit more like that local area does.
That's as natural a cover scent as you're going to find stepping in cow manure. There's your tip for the day, guys. Visit your local sale barn before you go deer hunting. So these scent blockers, are they necessary in your opinion? Do they work?
My opinion, that all those things work extremely well when you play the wind correctly. I very seldom wear any of the blocker type stuff. I'd rather, very frankly, because it's very expensive, I'd rather take that money, put it into a hunting license or into gas to go on a hunting trip somewhere, and then pay attention to the wind while you're hunting. All those products, as I say, work extremely well, particularly if the deer is upwind from you and there's a good brisk breeze blowing. I mean, then they work extremely well. But to me, again, if you pay attention a little bit to the wind, play the wind, also use the natural scents that are there. I mean, everywhere you go, there's always going to be some kind of vegetation or an animal that you can get close to that you can end up smelling like rather than something out of the store.
Mr. Whitetail, Larry Wysoon. We're going to hear from Dr. Dale Rollins a little later on the show today, and he's going to tell us how dismal the quail numbers are again this year in West Texas. Hey, do yourself a favor. Book a hunt at Joshua Creek Ranch in the beautiful Texas Hill Country. My friends Joe and Ann Kirchival are going to make you feel right at home, and it is 5-star. Beretta and Orvis both say it's one of the finest upland bird hunting lodges on the planet. Learn more about Joshua Creek Ranch at kinderoutdoors.com. Another one of our pros is Mr. Crappie Wally Marshall. Wally, a lot of people have never thought about catching crappie on a crankbait, but it's the real deal, dude.
I'm telling you, I got my own crankbaits out on the market with Strike King. You know, these 300 crankbaits, you're thinking about a small crankbait. I'm talking about a big 2.5-inch crankbait that those crappie will swallow plumb down to the goozle now. And the way you do this is you get your setup and you can use a foot-controlled trolling motor. You can use a small engine on a pontoon, like a 5-horse or something. But you've got to maintain 1.5 miles an hour or up to 2 miles an hour on these crankbaits. And that Mr. Crappie 3XD crappie crank by Strike King will go down to 12 foot on 8-pound test. And so what you do is you stagger your rods in the back of your boat to get a good spread. And sometimes I'll use a 6.5-foot, a 9-foot, and a 12-foot rod so I can get a good spread with my crankbaits, because I'm going to pull these crankbaits at least 75 feet to 100 feet behind the boat. Okay, while you're rigging up, you need to take a swivel, an inline swivel, and put it in front of your crankbait. Because if that crankbait ever foul hooks, it will twist your line all the way up to your reel, and you're done for the day. So be sure to put that swivel in there in case it foul hooks when you cast it back out. And I like to use spinning reels off the back, and I'll use bait cast reels off the side, because I'm in the front of the boat, running the trolling motor, watching my GPS, making sure I'm staying at the right speeds, because what you're going to do is you're going to catch crappie over suspended that are suspended out there in water. Say it's 30 foot deep, the thermoclines at 20, and those crappie are in between that, suspended in the mouths of those coves, and you just troll in a straight line down the lake. And you just watch those rods, and all of a sudden one of those rods will bend over, then it'll come back, and that crappie will actually come to the top of the water and start skidding across the top of the water like a plate. If he's a big one, he's going to stay down deep. He's got a mouthful of crankbaits. And if you think you got on some kind of record fish, you need to stop the boat and reel the fish in, because with that going 1.5 mile an hour to 2 mile an hour, and you got a 3-pound crappie on there with a big old Mr. Crappie crankbait stuck in his lip, you need to be sure to get the fish in first, especially if you're in a tournament. You know, trolling crankbaits is something that we don't do a lot down here in the South, and a lot of people are scared to do it, but it works on any lake that has white crappie. I can go out here in Texas on Lake Levan, I can go to Ray Roberts, I can go to any of these lakes and pull crankbaits. Anytime is when it's the right time, is like end of April to October. When the water starts cooling down, that bite gets off. And so long as that water is pretty warm, like I said, from the end of April to the 1st of October, you can pull crankbaits. And you know, pulling these crankbaits, you're thinking, well, man, I'll get tangled up. I'm pulling 8 crankbaits at a time, sometimes 10, depending on how many rods that I put out to the side. And those rods that I put out to the side up there at the front, I'll put a 14-foot and a 10-footer, and I'll get that good spread. I got a 4-foot spread there, but my crankbaits will be back about 100 feet. And so what you're doing is you're pulling these crankbaits, and when you start, you know, hit some crappie, and you're liable to catch 2 or 3 at one time. What you need to do is you need to mark that on your GPS so you can go out there, and you got to take a wide turn. Remember, these crankbaits are about 100 feet behind your boat. So you got to take a wide turn out there and come back and go back through those spots that you marked on your GPS. And you can catch a lot of crappie this way. I'm talking.
You say now that works on white crappie, not black crappie, because those black crappie are going to be holding too tight to structure.
No, black crappie don't chase those crankbaits.
They just won't chase them?
They just won't get them, man. I'm telling you. Them white crappie will suck them down, bro. I'm telling you. But anyway, crankbait fishing is fun for the whole family. Anybody can do it. You can do it out of a pontoon boat. You can do it out of a bass boat. Any kind of boat that will go 1.5 miles an hour, you can catch crappie pulling crankbaits.
If you're a pretty good paddler, you can do it out of a kayak.
I'd hate to do that.
Good morning. I'm Lieutenant Colonel David Snodgrass from the United States Air Force. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, maybe more than ever, we could all use a little getaway. And the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas is the perfect spot. We are open for business and with well-thought-out precautions to help keep our guests safe. Bring the RV and enjoy our full-service hookups complete with cable TV, ramped-up Wi-Fi, and space to spread out while enjoying a great view of Grapevine Lake. We can comfortably accommodate any size RV or motorhome with plenty of pull-through sites. The Vineyards also has spacious lakefront cabins fully equipped with all that you and your family will need to enjoy comfort camping. Our campground store is well stocked with everything from groceries and ice to firewood and fishing supplies. Don't forget to bring the boat! The Vineyards Campground and Cabins features a private boat ramp with plenty of parking, a private beach, kayak, bicycle and paddleboard rentals, and even a full-service laundry on site. Come to the Vineyards! We're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth, but you'll feel millions of miles away. VineyardsCampground.com.
Buffalo wool, hats, socks, and gloves will keep you warm and comfortable on even the most uncomfortable days. It's called buffalo wool because the very special fibers used in buffalo wool products are harvested from beneath the big shaggy guard hairs on the bison. These special fibers are how the buffalo manages a Wyoming blizzard or a North Dakota ice storm with no trouble at all. Ron Miskin owns the Buffalo Wool Company and loves the customer feedback.
Well, I was really surprised when I got pictures back. He went and did a 330-mile snowmobile trek up in Alaska, negative 30s, Jason Muskox. He said second day he quit wearing his choppers, just wearing our gloves and hat.
The buffalo fiber you make your products from, actually warmer than wool.
Oh, yeah, much warmer than wool, a lot more durable. These are meant to be used and used hard. We warranty them for life. You wear them out, we'll replace them.
TheBuffaloWoolCo.com.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled. But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
The Dallas Safari Club and Kender Outdoors are made in the USA, built by freedom-loving, hard-working, constitution-defending hunters, fishers, and shooters. If that's you, come on in the camp house. If not, you made a wrong turn somewhere.
DSC is at the forefront of support for true science-based conservation that makes life better for wild places, wild things, and future generations. Learn more about us at biggame.org.
Hey, the website is kinderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R, kinderoutdoors.com. Also want to let you know you can catch a podcast, an expanded two-hour podcast, available at kinderoutdoors.com or wherever you get your podcast. They know all about us. Just tell them you want a free weekly download. They'll send it directly to your device. I want to jump on the Big Billy Kinder Outdoors trot line now and head for Roby, Texas, out in Quail Country in West Texas, and talk to one of my friends there, Dr. Dale Rollins. Hey, Dr. Dale, always a pleasure. Good to have you with us.
It's always a pleasure to visit with you and your audience, Billy.
I tell you what, it's a roller coaster ride if you're a quail hunter or a quail enthusiast, because you just never know. It might look good one minute and vanish the next. We've seen every kind of year, I guess, a quail hunter can see, but seems like there's more downs than ups in recent history, Dale.
Yeah, we've been mired in the doldrums the last 3 years, and I'm afraid this year is going to be much the same.
Yeah, your annual projections come out about this time of year, and that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about on the show today. But what is the Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch?
Well, the Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch was formed in 2006 as a part of the Rolling Plains Quail Research Foundation. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. And we got the deed to the ranch in 2007. It was granted to us from the Conservation Fund, with the Richard King Mellon Foundation being a key part of that. And since that time, it served as our laboratory, as kind of our space central, if you will. We do a lot of research there. The ranch is 4,700 acres, and we do a lot of work and a lot of demonstration-type activities monitoring the quail there. And then we use that as a launch pad to do other wider-ranging kinds of research projects, like what we called our Operation Idiopathic Decline back in 2011, where we looked at quail from 35 different counties, and where we're now focusing a lot of our translocation work with wild quail, which hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that a little bit. Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch, great research ranch facility, as the name would imply, but as Dale alluded to there, that work goes beyond Roby, Texas, and the ranch there. Tell us about translocating quail, catching, trapping wild quail, moving them to areas that once were home to wild quail, and studying to see how they do. How's that working out?
Well, first of all, Billy, that's a very hot topic nationally throughout the southeastern U.S., where the bobwhite used to thrive 40, 50 years ago. State after state have noted that, again, the declines. Looks like a Cessna on a trajectory with the ground, pretty quick kind of thing, pretty steep declines. And so there's a lot of things that are happening nationally and in Texas, and most of them focus on improving the habitat and trying to work with what I'll call the habitat mantra. And they're having some results, but you and I could both point to a lot of places from Fort Worth west that look pretty darn good. I mean, they meet my specs, but their numbers are just embers of a quail population. And so our goal since 2013 has been to experiment moving wild quail. We're not going to have anything to do with pin-reared quail. That's been tried in every form and fashion, and it just doesn't work for restoring populations. But relocating the wild quail to try to boost those populations is what our goal has been. And we've had some hits and some walks and some strikeouts. So we're still perfecting our game. Our most recent effort is in Erath County, just west of Stephenville, which, again, historically was pretty good quail habitat. Hadn't had anything in 20 years, I guess, and a lot of habitat change over there. But we've been working with a guy in year two of that study, and we just found out we're going to fund it for year three, because our first year was a flop. It was just, it didn't work. But our most recent year, this past summer, we had what I thought was incredible success. So we had 52 nests documented. fact, Billy just had one nest documented this last week, hatched just this last week. So,
oh, my goodness, late bloomer.
Yeah, we're moving birds from West Texas and from South Texas to determine the impact of source populations and see if both populations work fairly well. Our West Texas birds outproduced our South Texas birds a little bit, but our South Texas birds did fairly well. Now, that's important because when you go looking for quail to translocate, it seems like it's always a tough year like this year. And if your portfolio only has West Texas in it, well, you're going to be up creek. But our South Texas friends, especially down south of 285 at Hebbronville, Five Furious Country, that looks very good right now. So we've been able to delve into some of those landowners and get them to help us with our what I call quail donors. They'll supply some birds up there, and those birds have done pretty well. So it's been a very interesting experiment. I want to take my hat off to John Pilarski, the graduate student that's doing a great job for us there at Tarleton. That one is one, again, it's our most recent attempt, and we'd like to think we improve our game just a little bit each year, and I think we're getting pretty close to where we want to go to try to ramp this up at a larger scale.
That's 100% Bobs?
No, we've done both Bob Whites and Blues. And,
okay.
We got started in this in 2014, our blue quail there at the research ranch, which we have, when we first got it in 2006, we think we had 7 coveys. By 2013, we didn't have any. We didn't trap a single bird. We didn't see or hear a bird. So we translocated some birds in from further west, 14 of them in 2014, and then like 87 in 2015. Those numbers grew to about 400 by 2017. So that was one of our greatest successes. But then those birds began to meter off a little bit, and so we supplemented that population last year with some more birds coming in. We got to find out. I mean, we can get them. We can achieve some short term successes. We got to try to do a better job on longer term successes. So I'm saying 5 years. That's the bar that Parks and Wildlife says. If you're going to have a successful translocation, you need to prove that you can sustain that population for 5 years after introduction. So that's the bar that they've set for us, and that's the bar that we're trying to achieve.
So if I'm sitting there petting my setter in Atlanta, Georgia, just dreaming about another West Texas quail season, what am I going to run into this year, Dale? The life of a quail hunter, like we said earlier, it can be pretty tough.
Yeah, and it's getting older, too, Bill, as you and I can both appreciate. So, you know, who was it said they don't even buy green bananas at their age kind of thing? And I hunt with some guys that are in their mid-80s, and I just, you know, I feel so sorry with a poor forecast for our older hunters, for our very young hunters, for our very old bird dogs, and for our very young bird dogs, because it's just hard to get them very excited if it's a really tough year kind of thing. I feel like we should have been due for a better this year because, again, our populations, especially in West Texas, tend to cycle about every 5 to 6 years. That's probably tied to this El Nino southern oscillation. So when we have an El Nino year or 2 years like we did in 15 and 16, we have a pretty good quail population. When we have La Nina years, which we had last year, and which NOAA is giving us an 85% chance of having La Nina through the winter, that just ain't great news for quail hunters in West Texas.
Well, how about South Texas? Are we looking okay down there, doing a little better?
Yeah, we're doing much better down there. Now, again, these are just based on my reporters, what I call my quail trap line that I monitor in August and ask them to send me their reports. But the reports south of 285 are strong. They were good last year. I'd say maybe an average of, again, from 1 to 10, average of 7. This year, everybody I've talked to in that area is saying 8.5 plus.
We appreciate all the hard work and research you guys do at the ranch. Dr. Dale, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Billy. Thank you.
Dr. Dale Rollins on the dismal quail situation in West Texas and Western Oklahoma this year. Hey, you heard the report. Go ahead now. Pick up the phone, get on the internet, and book your trip to Joshua Creek Ranch. It's probably going to be the start of an annual tradition if you do. This place is fantastic. Learn more about them at kinderoutdoors.com. Let's go grab a cup of coffee.
Hi, this is Laura Nealon from Field & Stream. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Kender Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club. Now that's good camp house company.
Come to Dallas February 11th through the 14th for DSC's Convention and Sporting Expo, Reflections. You've never had this much fun raising money for conservation. BigGame.org.
Hey, welcome back to our campfire here at Kender Outdoors. I'm Billy Kender, and thanks so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. I'm going to visit with my buddy Bob West up in Iowa talking about grass awns. It is a sneaky, deadly killer of our dogs, bird dogs especially. And then we're going to visit with my buddy Ron Upchurch and Jay Thomason down in Mississippi. Fellowship of Christian Athletes there is inviting young fishermen to jump in on the front end of something that's pretty exciting there. And in Minnesota, Ted Dick is the forest game bird specialist. Minnesota famous for those ruffed grouse, the king of the game birds, they say. He's going to talk to us about bird populations this year. So, a great hour ahead. Glad you're here with us. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. For your bird dog, it's Pro Plan Performance Formula, 30% protein, 20% fat. The absolute, hands-down best fuel for your hard-working bird dog. Pick it up at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Big fish on the bragging board. Check it out. The Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department recently certified a record fish for entry, a 19-pound lake trout, Lake Champlain. Jeffrey Sanford, the fisherman. A lot of firsts on this trip. Jeffrey said, I got my first boat this summer. It was my first time out alone, and I caught this fish on the first cast of the day. And it's a new state record in Vermont. What a trout. Take a look on the bragging board at Kender Outdoors. Another state record. A guy from Florida slipped up to Georgia and caught this big giant catfish. 110 pounds, 6 ounces. A giant blue cat, beating the old Georgia state record by 17 pounds. Tim Trone, Havana, Florida. Got a picture of Matt Stymack out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, with his 26-inch brown trout that he caught on the San Juan River using a black woolly booger. He's up on the bragging board, too, at kinderoutdoors.com. That is a beautiful brownie. The general pheasant season opens next weekend in Nebraska. As a matter of fact, pheasant and quail season, upland seasons, open up next weekend, Halloween Day, October 31st. If you're looking for a place to hunt in Nebraska, there are more than 1.2 million acres of publicly accessible lands. Check out the Public Access Atlas with additional tips and info on the 2020-21 Upland Game Bird Hunting Outlook. This is a really bad deal all the way around in Michigan. A Chippewa County, Michigan man has been accused of poaching numerous animals, including 18 gray wolves. Yikes. Now he's more than accused. He's been sentenced under a plea agreement. Kurt Johnston Duncan is 56 of Pickford. He pleaded guilty to 7 poaching crimes following an investigation by the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, and he's been sentenced to pay $36,240, $27,000 as reimbursement for the animals illegally taken, $9,240 in court fees and costs, lifetime revocation of all hunting and trapping privileges in Michigan, including that he may not assist anyone in the act of hunting or trapping. With this privilege revoked, he'll not be allowed to hunt within 48 states that are members of the Interstate Wildlife Violator Compact. He's got 90 days of jail time coming to him. Then 18 to 24 months of probation. Forfeiture of all items and evidence seized by the DNR during the execution of search warrants, including firearms. So what do you have to do to get in this much trouble? Well, 3 counts of illegal take and possession of wolves, 3 counts of the illegal take and possession of bald eagles, and then the illegal commercialization of a protected species. He tried to sell a wolf or wolves. The folks in Missouri say that this year's annual wild turkey brood survey by the Missouri Department of Conservation shows that turkey production is slightly better statewide than it was last year, and some regions saw significant improvement. MDC's statewide poult to hen ratio, PHR, poult to hen ratio, for this year was 1.0, which was 11% greater than the 29 PHR and equal to the average production observed during the previous 5 years. PHRs ranged from a low of 0.7 in the Ozark border, Ozark's west, and west prairie regions, to a high of 1.4 in the northeast and northwest regions. This report ought to make my buddy Ray I there in Missouri pretty happy. Hey, don't forget when you're driving past that Atwoods Ranch and Home Store today to pull in and take a look at the ProPlan formulas. Purina ProPlan. There's a formula specifically built for your dog's age, special conditions, and activity level. Purina ProPlan at Atwoods. Arizona quail hunters will be glad to know. In fact, you should be giddy about the 2020-21 season. It's shaping up to be average. That's right, average. And that's tremendous news. Taking all things into account, it'll be a great season compared to what you've experienced in the past 15 years or so out in Arizona. California and Gamble's quail, season's open. The season will actually be what an average year used to look like in Arizona.
This is professional angler Rick Klund. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
We are planning for great crowds and a great time at the 2021 DSC Convention and Sporting Expo Reflections, February 11th through the 14th, and we'll certainly hope that you're planning to be a part of it as well. Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at DSC, and I can assure you that as we make plans to get together again in February, we're also planning to do it safely. Whatever is required to make your visit comfortable, enjoyable, and above all safe, we will do. This is the place where the finest guides and outfitters globally come together to display their opportunities to the hunting and fishing public, and they'll be hungry to do business. You'll also see the finest collections of firearms, art, jewelry, hunting gear, and clothing anywhere. We will have wonderful banquets, live and silent auctions featuring one-of-a-kind collectibles, opportunities and gear, and a family-friendly celebration of our hunting heritage. To learn more, visit biggame.org. And I'll see you in February.
Hey, get geared up for dove season at Marksman Firearms and Outfitters. From shotguns and rifles to ammo and accessories, they've got it all. Visit Marksman Firearms in Granbury, Killeen, Mansfield, or Wichita Falls. Military and first responders get a 10% discount. And they offer a 90-day layaway, same as cash. For info, go to MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman. Hey, have you entered to win our giant fall hunting package yet? It's from Kinder Outdoors, Cinnamon Creek Ranch, and Dillon Hunting Blinds. It's called Deck the Blind with Bows and Arrows, and we're going to draw a winner in mid-December. Register now at KinderOutdoors.com to win a 6x6 Dillon bow and rifle combo blind on a 5-foot tower and a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery, Wild Game Processing, and Event Center. Valued at over $6,000, this will be a humdinger of a ho-ho-ho. Register now at KinderOutdoors.com. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife, quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit Joshua Creek.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me, heroes who charged in the battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore, men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
Glad you're back. We still have some big fish to fry here at Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Attend the DSC Hunters Expo Reflection in Dallas, February 11th through the 14th, and you will make an important and worldwide impact on poaching. You'll strengthen our Second Amendment, and you will teach a youngster how hunting is conservation. DSC is at biggame.org.
We're traveling around the country today doing a little bird hunting, and boy, I tell you what, nobody on planet Earth has spent more time with or enjoyed their bird dogs any more than this next guy, my buddy Bob West in Iowa. This corner of the Camp House is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. Bob knows all about that Pro Plan. He worked for Purina Pro Plan for decades and feeds it in his kennel, along with our other top dog training pros like Tom Dockin in Minnesota and Ronnie Smith in Oklahoma. Purina Pro Plan performance formula for your bird dog. 30% protein and 20% fat. Hey, welcome back to the show, Bob. I always really enjoy my visits with you.
Hey, Billy, I'm happy to be here. It's good to hear from you and kind of find out where things are going.
Yeah, well, I've got a burning question for you right off the bat. I hear that pheasant numbers in Montana and in Minnesota and South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska, all booming this year. Lots of pheasants this year. How about Iowa? Surely, if you're going to come back with your pheasants some, this has got to be the year.
You know, my friends would like to, for me to say there isn't any birds here, so we don't get overrun. But the truth is, the pheasant count's up pretty well. You know, in my training retrievers on certain different grounds, I hear roosters crowing quite a bit, and we'll bump one once in a while. And Billy, I actually have seen them on the road like the old days. So.
Wow, it's wonderful just to see them for
sure. Sure is.
Well, there's something that every dog owner should know about, be aware of, and certainly every bird dog guy or gal needs to know about grass awns, A-W-N-S. And a lot of people are hearing that term for the very first time, but boy, we need to know. Tell us about a grass awn. What is a grass awn?
Well, it's basically the grass seed, Billy, and it's the structure that the seed is carried in, that whole piece is called the awn, and it's shaped and designed so that it can travel. If you know, as kids, when we take a timothy or another grass in your hand and you squeeze it and it'll travel, you know what I mean?
Sure.
The seed itself, the awn itself, does that as well. So if it gets in muscle tissue or in the eye or somewhere, as that tissue moves, that seed can penetrate deeper into the body, the nose, the mouth, or whatever. And that's when the other problem with it is it typically will take bacteria with it. Other problems, you know, not only the where it's puncturing. It can travel through the body. I've had them, in an English pointer of mine traveled, we suspect, through the nose all the way back to the second or third rib and then came out into the skin and formed a big cyst where the body was trying. Now, luckily that happened. Sometimes they travel into the lungs. we've had situations where dogs had to have part of their lungs removed and so on. But what happens first, usually, in a with a grass on being in there, the infection will cause elevated temperature, health problems in that way. And early on, the veterinarians were treating that those symptoms as infection. And once the infection was under control, they thought they had it made, and then it would pop back up again because obviously the grass on was still in there. You know, if people really want to dig into the grass on and more about it than you and I have time for here, Kathy Lewis, a good friend of mine, has a website called meanseeds.com. You can go to Gundog Magazine. There's a couple articles I've written that give you more in-depth there. But in general, we're talking about rye grass ons, foxtail barley, cheatgrass. Those are different plants that have ons that can cause trouble.
Yeah, we're talking about a dead seed, no life to it at all, that enters your dog through an eye, the nose, the mouth, between the toes, in the hair, in the coat, and then actually, as if it were alive, tunnels through your dog and causes severe damage, or even no matter where you run your dog, you're susceptible to grass on. Some areas of the country more prevalent, more dangerous than others. Here in Texas, I've never had that much trouble, had never even heard of a grass on in decades of handling dogs. Hunted Montana every fall, and then it wasn't until the following spring that this grass on presented itself. That's another thing. They can hide for months and you'd not know anything's wrong with your dog, and then just overnight they're at death's door, very ill. Like you, my dog produced a great big mass on its side, and two of my local veterinarians that I took the dog to had never seen a grass on before, surprisingly, and didn't know how to treat it. They thought it was a spider bite. They didn't know because it's more prevalent in some areas than others. If you hunt Montana, if you hunt South Dakota, if you hunt that northern tier of states up there, Midwest and West, you really need to watch out and keep a close eye on your dog.
When you change fields, whether you're training, hunting, or whatever, when you change fields, if you put your dog on the tailgate or some height similar where you can get a good look at them, and you look, you start right at the nose, and you look in the nostrils, you look at the eyes. And my point is, if you can catch those seeds when they're laying there on the edge of the eye and get them out of there, or the nose, then you're not going to have the problem. But then you just move your hands on back through the dog's head and chest and down the legs, toes, like you mentioned, and all through the whole body, the underbody and all the way back. You might find a cut that the dog didn't indicate. You might find grass ons. You might find other problems. But my point is, if you do that and take that time, it'll pay off. You may not catch them, but hopefully you will.
And, boy, just take your water bottle and give them a good flush in the ears and the eyes and between the toes anyway after you're finished hunting. And, boy, the stuff you don't see, it could still be there, and this will certainly flush it out. The Bob West tailgate inspection, very important. Give us the website one more time just in case folks want to go learn more.
You can go to Kathy Lewis's site, and Debbie, they have meanseeds.com. There's a whole bunch of information there on the different grasses that are problems. There's different cases. You can recommend this to your veterinarian, and there's some case histories and a lot of resources in there they can look at. Gundogmagazine.com, you'll find a number of articles that I've written over time, more in detail about the tailgate inspection and stuff like that, that can help you out. This internet web thing is really a great source of information.
Well, Bob, have a terrific hunting season as always. I appreciate you sharing your expertise with us.
Hi, buddy. It's good to talk to you, and good luck. I've been listening to you on RFD radio. I enjoy that show.
Whether it's a small cafe in Grand Junction, Tennessee, near the Bird Dog Hall of Fame, field trial grounds in Montana or Texas, or maybe a show floor somewhere at Pheasant Fest, I have always thoroughly enjoyed my time spent with that guy, Bob West, up in Iowa. We're headed to Mississippi next, because the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is doing something really cool for young fishermen there, and you don't want to miss it. And then it's on to Minnesota. We're going to hunt ruffed grouse.
Hi, I'm Walter Perry. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
Don't miss the Crappie Expo, driven by Ford Trucks, October 30th through November 1st at the Branson Convention Center. I'm Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall, and if you like catching crappie as much as me, you've got to be there. The top 100 crappie companies on earth, with rods, baits, boats, and the latest and greatest crappie fishing gear. Live concerts every day. Win a Vexus boat on Saturday and a Ranger boat on Sunday. And hey, if you like eating crappie as much as me, come on out for lunch on Saturday, October the 31st, for the world's largest crappie fry. Brought to you free by Benefit the Badge. Hey, how much free crappie can you eat? I'll see you October 30th through November 1st at the Crappie Expo, driven by Ford Trucks. It's at the Branson Convention Center. Details are at crappieexpo.com. I'm Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall, and I approve this message. And I approve catching crappie.
Crappie Expo is October 30th through November 1st in Branson, Missouri. Buffalo Wool, hats, socks, and gloves will keep you warm and comfortable on even the most uncomfortable days. It's called Buffalo Wool because the very special fibers used in Buffalo Wool products are harvested from beneath the big shaggy guard hairs on the bison. These special fibers are how the buffalo manages a Wyoming blizzard or a North Dakota ice storm with no trouble at all. Ron Miskin owns the Buffalo Wool Company and loves the customer feedback.
Well, I was really surprised when I got pictures back. He sent, went and did a 330-mile snowmobile trek up in Alaska, negative 30s, chasing muskox. He said second day he quit wearing his choppers, just wearing our gloves and hat.
The buffalo fiber you make your products from, actually warmer than wool.
Oh, yeah, much warmer than wool, a lot more durable. These are meant to be used and used hard. We warranty them for life. You wear them out, we'll replace them.
TheBuffaloWoolCo.com. From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
Do you love to feel the thump? Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, presenting the all-new Wally Marshall Pro Series and Speed Shooter Rods by Lewes. For more than two decades, I've been designing the best crappie rods on the planet. The Wally Marshall Pro Series crappie rods are built with IM8 blanks, cork handles, stainless steel guides, fast tip, and plenty of backbone. Great for vertical jigging, casting, and trolling for crappie. New for 2020, Wally Marshall Pro Series Rear Seat Crappie Rods by Lewes comes in 10-foot and 11-foot, designed for the crappie fanatics that love to feel the thump in heavy cover. Hey, my favorite technique is shooting docks. Wally Marshall Speed Shooters are designed with an IM8 blank, AVA foam handles, and airwave guides for the perfect shot every time. Speed Shooters come in 5'6" for tight docks, up to 7-foot to get the longest shot. Man, do I love the 7-footer. Hey, be sure to check out all my crappie rods and reels at Lewes.com or MrCrappie.com.
Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Caseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Caseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Caseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
In the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Reflections is the name of the next DSC Convention and Expo, February 11th through the 14th. We're making plans to roll out the red carpet for you and your family. We all need this. I'm DSC Executive Director Corey Mason, and I'll meet you in Dallas in February.
Hey, be sure to drop by the website kinderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R, and register to win that fall contest. It's a big fall hunting package that we're giving away. It's called Deck the Blind with Bows and Arrows. Giving away a Dillon Manufacturing hunting blind sitting on a 5-foot tower and throwing in a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery Event Center and Wild Game Processing. It's a $6,000 plus package, and all you have to do to win it is register. KinderOutdoors.com. This corner of the camp house brought to you by my friends at Joshua Creek Ranch. I have hunted there many times, and I assure you, you will go no place where you eat better, hunt better, sleep better, or enjoy yourself more. A Beretta Trident Lodge for excellence in upland bird hunting. Joshua Creek Ranch. Get out of that house. It's been a long year. Go to Joshua Creek. Have the time of your life. Learn more at KinderOutdoors.com. Well, hey, let's take a little trip down to Grenada, Mississippi, the home of big crappie down there. Wow, you guys are doing something really special these days with your Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You're taking it outdoors, and I like that. Let's talk to a couple of guys about that. Jay Thomason and Ron Upchurch. Welcome to the show, guys. How are things in Mississippi?
Doing good, doing good. Thanks for having us today.
Absolutely. Yeah, great. Good. Good to have you here with us. Ron, first of all, how's my Grenada Lake that I've never fished but want to? It's on my bucket list. How's it producing these days?
Man, I tell you today, Billy, and all week last week, it has been hot on fire. This is the fall pattern to set in. The fish are 10 or 12 foot of water, and I tell you, they're hammering it right now. If anybody wanted to catch some fish in Grenada Lake, this is the time to come to Grenada, Mississippi.
Boy, that'll make me quit what I'm doing and get in the truck, I promise you.
Come on down.
Do they follow shad? Is that a big shad lake?
It is a big shad lake, and they definitely follow the shad. It's a big, of course, with the last 3 years of flood and all that, I mean, this has been a great spawn the last 3 years, and the fish are starting to beef up. They're getting huge now. Had a guy, matter of fact, Eric Cagle was here yesterday. He's the Crappie Masters National Champion from a couple of weeks ago. He said he was catching hogs bigger than he's ever caught in Grenada.
Oh, my word.
So, yeah,
Now, they'll bring that lake down in the wintertime, won't they, or am I wrong about that?
No, you're correct. Every year they bring it down. It'll get down to, they try to get it to 193. That's the winter pool, which the last few years they got it close, but it just never got there. So.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, it's mainly for flood control, and, of course, the Corps will tell you, hey, this lake is not for recreation, it's not for fishing, it's for flood control to protect the farmers of the Mississippi Delta and also the people that live, you know, down south south of the lakes, Enid, Sardis, all the same way.
Yeah, okay. And that's a real good time if you want to take a trip to Mississippi and take your GPS and see where some brush piles are. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to say that, am I? Oh, my goodness. Jay Thomason is the area director for the Mississippi Delta Fellowship Christian Athletes. Jay, how strong is FCA these days? We don't hear about it as much as we did maybe 20, 30 years ago. Still strong?
Oh, yes, sir. It's growing really exponentially. Our staff, I know in Mississippi, back when I was in high school, I think there were four staff members in the state of Mississippi, and that would have been in the mid to late 90s. And in the past 25 years, I would say, our staff has grown from four to 50.
You know, we think about FCA, we've always thought of the traditional bat and ball sports, football, basketball, baseball, and soccer,
that's
I
right.
guess, in there as well. These days, that's changing. Bass fishing is a big, big deal in our school. Archery is a big deal in our schools now. And you're appealing
Absolutely.
To those kiddos now.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, we really are. You know, what you're talking about, we call the round ball sports. Our traditional, that's the bread and butter, as they say, of what FCA has been. But you get into realizing that not every kid is a round ball athlete, but they may be, you may be dealing with the next Annie Oakley, you know, somebody can shoot, you know. And so great story of how it's all kind of come together. But where I came in 4 years ago when I lived in Georgia, I was a pastor and I served on our local area board for Southwest Georgia FCA. The Albany area, and the Lord called me to move back to my homeland, the Mississippi Delta, and take that as the area director. And I was telling a friend, my FCA director that I serve on the board, he just mentioned, hey, you know, FCA Outdoors. He goes, that's a new thing that's up and coming, and that may be big in the Delta where you're going. And that stuck in my heart, and the Lord has not let that go. And there's been times where I thought all I knew to do was to say, hey, there's outdoor ministry, and it's really been one of these things where the Lord has continued to pull the curtain back and show us more and more along the way. And so here we are about to promote, trying to begin a fishing league in North Mississippi.
Ron Upchurch is also on the board there for FCA,
sir,
in the area. Not only that, but a professional crappie angler. And, Ron, you guys are going to kick this all off with a meeting, and this could be inspirational to folks listening in Florida or Wisconsin or New York or New Mexico or anywhere. And it's a really good way to know where your kids are and what they're doing and know that what they're hearing and communicating with one another is good when there's so many bad things that kids can get into these days. You guys have an organizational meeting coming up there in North Mississippi at a brand new, really cool spot, and you'd like to invite folks to come out.
Yeah, Billy, we would. We appreciate that. It's going to be at PTG Outdoors, which is at 649 Lakeview Drive in Grenada, Mississippi, a new location since August, big RV, tackle, marine shop, and we're going to close down that afternoon a little early, and we're going to bring these guys in. It's going to be youth from all over North Mississippi, dads, some ministers, coaches, bass guys that are really dedicated to bringing the sport to the youth of North Mississippi.
Absolutely, you bet. Well, so the who, what, where, when, and why about this meeting on November 5th and who we want to come out.
We're looking at ages 5 years old to 18. And so, of course, that means the dads are going to have to participate. Men with boats can participate. So we encourage everybody to come. Again, that is November the 5th, 2020, 6:30 p.m. at PTG Outdoors, as Ron said earlier, at 649 Lakeview Drive, Grenada, Mississippi.
Pro crappie angler Ron Upchurch and Jay Thomason with Fellowship Christian Athletes. If you need any of that info, it's all at kinderoutdoors.com. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by my friends at Joshua Creek Ranch. World-class access deer hunting. Possibly a world record when you hunt with them. Fine dining, great lodging, and super sanitary and safe during this pandemic. They've also relaxed their cancellation policy. Go ahead and book with them today. You'll not regret it, I promise. Hey, have you entered to win our giant fall hunting package yet? It's from Kinder Outdoors, Cinnamon Creek Ranch, and Dillon Hunting Blinds. It's called Deck the Blind with Bows and Arrows, and we're going to draw a winner in mid-December. Register now at kinderoutdoors.com to win a 6x6 Dillon bow and rifle combo blind on a 5-foot tower and a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery, Wild Game Processing, and Event Center. Valued at over $6,000, this will be a humdinger of a ho-ho-ho. Register now at kinderoutdoors.com. Hey, get geared up for dove season at Marksman Firearms and Outfitters. From shotguns and rifles to ammo and accessories, they've got it all. Visit Marksman Firearms in Granbury, Killeen, Mansfield, or Wichita Falls. Military and first responders get a 10% discount, and they offer a 90-day layaway, same as cash. For info, go to MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman. You might hunt the South Pasture, or maybe the Double Tanks. You've watched that big 10-point for 4 years now. Maybe he'll show up. Or maybe it's a doe you'll hang in the cooler tonight. We're almost out of sausage links and taco meat. Maybe a pig will come by today. Among all the maybes, there is an absolute. Take your wild game to Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. The Masacchio family and their decades of family recipes will have your guests at a whitetail dinner complimenting you on the beef.
Because the way we season them, and then we cry vac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular filet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on, theharvestmovie.com. If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled. But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott, at gootf.com.
Sometimes our office is a bass boat. Tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
While you enjoy a day at the range, we stand on Capitol Hill and firmly say no to those who would rip that right and that gun from you. We are the DSC, and we're at biggame.org.
The last time I hunted at Joshua Creek Ranch, I remember I had a huge patio overlooking the creek and a big valley down below. This was outside my five-star accommodations, which were as nice as any place I've ever stayed. And I've stayed in some swanky joints, okay? I'm standing there with my coffee listening to the axis deer bellow down below. I can hear the pheasants cackle. Golly, you got to treat yourself to this place. And it's COVID safe, I promise you. Book a trip. Learn more. JoshuaCreek.com. Let's take a little trip to Minnesota. I want to visit with my buddy Ted Dick up there. Ted works with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. He is their forest game bird manager. Ted, good to have you back on the show. How you been?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. You know, here in Texas, we've got the air conditioner running, but that's not the story there in Minnesota, huh?
No, it's not at all. We got hit with the early winter weather, so it's kind of been messing up our hunting a little bit. You know, we like to hunt with pointing dogs up here in the woods. I live about 170 miles north of the cities, and it's snowing out the window right now, and we're supposed to get another 4 to 6 today, and I'm looking at my doc wondering who's going to take that in because it's getting a little iced up right now.
I guess so. Unfortunately, Ted, that's probably going to be you.
I think so. The doc's not going to do it. You know that.
Oh, hey, I want to talk about your numbers this year and what they're looking like. If I'm not mistaken, you guys have the healthiest spruce grouse count in the Americas there in Minnesota. Is that right?
Sure. We like to take credit for rough grouse, too. But, yeah, spruce grouse, you know, are in the northern part of the state here. And I don't know that anybody really counts them very well in any of the northern states in the U.S. or Canada, as far as I know. We don't do surveys, although I will mention we're working on that at the Minnesota DNR. We're trying to do some pellet counts. Our research person, Dr. Charlotte Roy, is working on developing some things because we don't always have a good handle on how many spruce grouse are out there from year to year, or even for a trend like we do with rough grouse. But we're trying to improve that.
Okay, very good. Well, just from a bird hunter's perspective, what are you seeing?
Well, for spruce grouse, you know, they're generally sort of secondary for rough grouse for people. I love them because I think they're cool birds and they live in the boreal forest, so they're just in the most northern parts of the U.S., so I think that's pretty cool. But I am seeing reports and getting reports of spruce grouse in the bag, but again, it's usually in a combination with some woodcock or rough grouse. But we did have one interesting one just north of Grand Rapids here over the weekend. Somebody shot something that looks a lot like a hybrid rough grouse, spruce grouse. So I think that might be, I don't know that there's any records of those for Minnesota in history. I'm not sure, but people were
wow,
just
that's
in
very cool.
Yeah, it is cool. You know, it had a tail that looked like a spruce grouse tail, but a lot of the rest of the body looked like a rough grouse. But I've just seen pictures. It's very preliminary, but it's sort of a neat thing to look into.
You know, it's been just very spotty, maybe only a time or two in all of my years of hunting West Texas quail, that we've come across what we call a blob across between a bob white and a blue. So I know that species can interact like that, but that's pretty cool. I've never heard of the grouse species doing it.
Yeah, I would kind of think you'd see it more often than we have here, but yeah, it's pretty neat anyhow.
Yeah, very cool. So spruce grouse numbers from all you gather are good. Now let's get on to the centerpiece on the table, and that's the rough grouse. And I guess it's because they're just so darn good to eat, Ted, that makes them kind of the premier game bird for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, we call it the king of game birds, and I think that's you know, an earned nickname. They're fun to hunt, and they're great to eat, and they're a challenge. You know, I work some with the Rough Grouse Society and some other groups, and they come here for their annual event because it's good hunting here. And yeah, we were out last night, and even in the snow, it's an awful lot of fun to have pointing dogs that can find them for you, and it's no guarantee you're going to eat anything because the shots are still challenging because they're right in that early successional forest, and a lot of times it's thick enough that it's tough to get off a good shot. But it's a challenge, and it's exciting, and it's a big payoff if you can kill a couple.
Did you guys have a good hatch this year? Chick survival, was it good?
Yeah, we think it was. The reports coming in, you know, our rough grouse hunting season opens in mid-September, and I was dumb enough to give out my home phone number a few years ago, so I get a lot of firsthand reports from people that are out there that day. And, the pictures I've seen and reports, it looks pretty good. You know, we always say you don't judge a hunt by how many birds you kill and, you know, put them on the bed of your pickup for pictures, but that's just because I can't hit that many and my dog's not that good. So that's the excuse we use, but for our justification. But yeah, a lot of people are shooting a lot of birds, and it seems better in northeastern Minnesota than it does, say, closer to Minneapolis further south. But yeah, hunting's been good. In my personal experience around Grand Rapids here, we've had very good action every time we've been out.
Excellent. If somebody wanted to plot a trip maybe for next year to come up and hunt those famous Minnesota rough grouse, I know the season opens mid-September. It can still be a little warm then, I guess. But the season runs well on into the fall. When's the best time to plan a trip?
Yeah, you know, the big thing short of the heat, we don't have Texas heat, but it can get a little warm. But for us, running our dogs, you know, if it gets over 60, we start to slow down a little bit. So I know that's probably a cool day for you guys a lot of the time. And
yeah,
at the beginning of the season, the bigger deal is the amount of leaves that are still on. That's the big thing. You can flush a lot of grouse in mid-September closer to the opener, but it's really tough to see them because you're hunting in the, you know, in the deciduous forest where the visibility is just very, very tough early in the year. But this year we seem to have locked into a cold spell fairly early on. And so our fall color and our leaf drop seems to be at least a week, if not 10 days ahead of what it was. So like I said, this is the time I normally like to go. My college buddies, our grouse camp is Wednesday. And now we're looking out the window at shoveling snow and no leaves yet. So we screwed up our planning when we did it a year in advance. But for people wanting to come up here, the time I like is like first full weekend in October. So if you're around like the 7th or 8th of October, you still get some fall color. So that's fun to see. But some of the leaves are gone, so the shooting's better. If you're more serious about the shooting, plan it for something closer to October 17th or 18th, like this past weekend. And if you're if you want to see some fall color and little warmer temperatures, a little more comfortable, shoot for early October is probably the best. Woodcock haven't migrated by then yet either, so that's a big plus. You can add 60 or 70 flushes and shooting opportunities to your day if you've got a good dog and know how to find woodcock, because they're right in with the rough grouse.
Yeah, there you go. Ted, it's always so much fun to talk to you. And one of these days, my friend, I'm going to show up and we're going to go chase rough grouse together.
Yep. Give me a call ahead of time. We're here and we've got plenty of room, and we always like to show new people what it's about. So feel free to come on up.
Hey, Ted, thanks a lot. It's on the list. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the time we've had together in this old camp house today, and invite you back here next time around. Be sure to visit us at KinderOutdoors.com. Sign up and win that hunting blind and $2,000 shopping spree. Hey, I'll see you next time. Till then, may God bless you and your bunch.